I've often thought that if our brains got physically larger the more we exercised them, that instead of going to the gym to pump iron, people would go to the library to pump ideas in order to impress the opposite sex.
Look at the brain on that stud.
Have you ever seen a brain that big?
Look at that guy. He's huge.
I gotta start working out my head.
Wow. I'd like to wake up next to that brain every morning.
So tune in the Andy Finn Show and grow your brain. It's the only one you've got.
Listen to the Andy Finn Show at andyfinn.us. That's andyfinn.us.
We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and I'm here with Otto Krager, the owner and still not retired partner, I guess, in Otto Krager Associates in Fairfax, Virginia, one of the leading Myers-Briggs companies in the world.
That's true.
And you got a whole bunch of people there that are carrying on your work and helping all kinds of people with Myers-Briggs.
Hopefully. Good people, too, by the way.
I've met a few of them.
Yeah.
So you reviewed briefly the four basic, they don't like to call them types, but in fact this work comes out of the notion of psychological types.
And the preferences.
And so they're four, and they're not scales exactly, supposedly, right? Yeah. But we may think of them that way.
Sure.
But those are the four basic dimensions of Myers-Briggs. Talk to us a little more, Otto, about how this stuff gets applied in the real world.
Sure. And by the way, if you fill out the actual Myers-Briggs type indicator, you will get some result always that says you prefer one over the other on the four scales. So you prefer extroversion over introversion or over extroversion. And then from there on, it's somewhat, not true, but somewhat moot. Because once you know that, there may be a bunch of reasons why you're only slight that range all the way from birth order to what you had for dinner before you filled out the Myers-Briggs and everything in between. But once you learn that this is what you prefer, the first thing you try to do is say, am I really this? Because I do so many of the other things too. Well, again, you got a left and a right hand. Because all we want to start with is what do you prefer? And once I know that, then, and it's going to be extroversion over introversion, literalism over figurativism, when I see something, perceive is the word, when I make a decision, impersonal over personal, or when I come to just face my daily living, structure versus flexibility. And once I got that, then I'm ready to apply it. And you look like you got a question.
Yeah, there's an important point here, I think, that's probably worth stressing, which is that this is not, when someone takes the Myers-Briggs and gets their scores and they find out they're an ENTJ and all that implies or something, it's not like that's carved in stone, right? You turn to people and say, does this ring true for you?
Always. Because see, my bias, even that's typological. So for example, the flexible types, P's, can be J's like Andy, easier than Andy can be a flexible type.
Uh-huh.
J's have to schedule spontaneity and flexibility.
Yes.
Okay. P's just go with it. And if the name of the game today is structure, says the P, I'm going to beat Andy at being structured.
I can do structure.
Just for the hell of it. I'll show him. But it's going to be fun. Now suddenly the P who wasn't interested in structure has a real drive to be structured. Not for life, for the day.
That's the game
today. Exactly.
Yeah.
See, so some of that stuff even then does play itself out that way. But to know that about me is ahead of the curve. To know, for example, that I'm an introvert, and to know the company is not only spending big bucks on, but making a major effort toward working in teams, team building, and team managed results. All right? I, as a manager, want to know where my introverts are. I, as an introvert, want to know what does that really look like. Does that mean your mission, Andy, ENTJ boss, your mission is to send me home absolutely wiped out and fatigued and tired every day by forcing me to work out of my non-preference, which is what we're doing. If I'm an introvert and you're going to be on my case that 100% of my waking hours are going to be extroverted, we're heading for doomsville. And by the same token, if I am an introvert, does that mean that I'm anti-teams? No. It just means that social/line team work and team managed results and team building isn't where I'd start.
So, well, it also means that if I'm the boss or I'm the head of the team, I'd put someone like that on a computer doing research, whereas I'd send somebody else out to meet customers.
Exactly. And again, both of you, one day we can swap jobs. Right. If that'll keep you both honest. You know what I mean? And we can be open about that. In fact, this was a church years ago. They probably long ago forgotten it. And it'll remain nameless. In Vienna, Virginia, we did an offsite. And the manager, I mean, not the manager, the volunteer chair of the ushering committee. Now, that's your gateway to the public on Sunday morning, right? Pretend for a minute, this is the local store, and here come the customers.
Right.
And
right.
So our front runner is an introvert. And we got going. He was retired military. He was graduate of the Army School of Finances in Syracuse during his Army career. And I remember at the offsite saying, well, you know, I'm a little stressed. Why don't you be church treasurer? And you could just see him almost like standing at attention to answer me because the pastor never asked me. And I said, well, then I'm afraid of my next question. Does that mean you're head of the ushers? Because the pastor, of course. Pastor asked you to do that. You got to do it. Get real.
Right.
And of course, by the way, the preacher asked him every year because he knew he'd say yes.
He's a former military.
Yes. And he had those folks marching to their pews in step. You know, greet you with a formal good morning. Welcome to St. John's by the gas station. Grab him by the arm. Here's where you're sitting.
Yes, sir.
And while it may look good, that's just not the best way to greet folks for a free-floating experience. And yet it all falls together when you can see it in the picture.
Right. So part of what you're saying is that tasks can be matched to people's types.
Exactly.
What does that mean, though, for like when somebody's hiring for a certain kind of job? Let's use sales as a very obvious example of where we think extroverts are needed. Does Myers-Briggs help people make decisions about hiring?
Yeah.
I mean, should it?
It does, and you got to be careful on the should end. And
yeah.
And it's really very simple. But you won't believe that this week I had to answer a kid doing a study at a college in upstate New York about this very kind of a dimension. And the thing you got to remember at the front end of the Myers-Briggs is it does not measure skills and abilities. And that is so important. And the reason why what you just said about extrovert is a very valid 98% accurate hypothesis that i.e. sales is extroversion, ergo, which is Latin for therefore,
yes.
Extroverts ought to do well in sales. So you got a perfect theoretical match. Now we're back to what you and I said earlier in this program. The beauty of our humanity is we don't always do things the way theory says we ought to do them. And
right.
So here comes Sam or Sally extrovert. I think that should be Eddie or Eloise extrovert, but nevertheless. Here along they come. They don't have one interpersonal skill in the world while yet reporting a very clear preference for extroversion. They just never learned to listen.
they just happen to be obnoxious.
Yes, they just miss the skills that go with. You got it.
Yeah, interesting.
So the worst person to hire for that job would be the extrovert on the theory. Let's test it out and see where it goes. Or here comes the introvert who is cohesed, who is together, who is super solid and centered. God just knows when to listen and let you make up your own mind. And by the way, there's a whole thing in the book I wrote called Type Talk about why introverts don't go into sales and why they ought to. And why they ought to is just fun, if you think, in that when you're in the sales where someone comes to the counter, I think, what do you call it, cold calls where you got to...
Cold calls.
Those are tough for both.
Oh.
The shy extrovert, and we'll come back to that, but the extrovert can have trouble and introverts die on cold calls.
Yes.
But here I am at the counter and you walk up, or here I am at the front door of the church and you walk up. The beauty of the introvert is that if you are an extrovert, and Andy is, you'll sell yourself. I just need to give you support. Nod occasionally. Let you know I'm listening. You're very important to me. And I've seen extroverts say that. I'm going to take this, aren't I? And the introvert just nods. We got him. So as an introvert, you're going to sell yourself as an extrovert and vice versa. As an introverted customer and an introverted salesperson, I don't have needs to alienate you while you're internally thinking through, do I want to make this purchase? I can stand alongside you. Ooze a lot of confidence to you, know that you got a friend that you can trust. So you can ask me anything you want about this product, and I'll answer it in a way that will appeal to your inner reflective contemplative self. We got a win-win. Right, I got support for the extrovert who's going to sell himself. I got confidence I give the introvert who will then buy because I'm believable in not hustling him or her.
Right.
But that's back to what we were just saying a minute. It's back to skills and ability. At that point of hiring the person, has very little to do with knowing you're an extrovert or an introvert. It has to do with what maturity do you bring to the table? What skills and abilities do you bring to the table? What sense of self do you bring to the table? And the Myers-Briggs by itself only opens the door to understanding the answers to those questions.
Well, good. So let me ask you this. It strikes me that the reason why we tend to think that extroverts would be good at sales is because we tend to do in life what works for us. So that if extroversion works, then you do more of it. But if you're no good at social skills, extroversion probably doesn't work. So people tend to think this way, that we learn and continue behaviors based on what works. But in fact, the basic principles of Myers-Briggs, these types that come out of the work of Carl Jung, are believed to be innate or permanent, semi-permanent, right? These are not things that change a great deal. Right. So can you address that a little bit? Because I think there's probably a lot of people who have heard of Myers-Briggs that think, well, how useful can this or valid can this be? How can everybody fit into one of 16 types? You know, the world isn't that simple. There must be some trick here. Talk to me a little bit about the innateness of this, or the fact that your profile tends not to change much over time.
That's good. And that's almost, by the way, fodder for another radio connection somewhere along the way, in that it's so deep and complex. But that doesn't mean we can't say a word or two about it. First of all, the party line, all right? And that is, Jung said, type is inborn. You are born with only one true type. Now, whether or not the Myers-Briggs or anything else measures that is a statistical issue and a matter of some scientific study. And then, by the way, ultimately, an affirmation on the individual's part that I filled out anything and I got these results. And now after some studying of my life and the results, we have a match. We have an answer, no more calls, please. But that's right. That's I had to throw that in since we're on the radio. But at any rate, that's the kind of thing we're looking at. See, so I am of the opinion that we only have one true type in terms of birth. The flip side is that if I am born preferring my right hand and I'm reasonably normal, cutting me a wide swath, then I have a left hand. So far, so good.
Yep.
And part of my lifelong sits in Laban, my situation in life, is to get those not equal with each other, but to learn that one brings this skill to the table and the other supplies support in the same process.
That's right. While you're turning the screwdriver, the other hand has to hold the screw in place.
You got it. And so part of a good growth model is learning what I really prefer and learning that my non-preferences add some dimension to my life. But that's lifelong. And some individuals for the abhorrent interruptions in their life, from abuse to you name it, okay? Or just some sweet, loving types aren't types that want to shape up the world around them. So your type, with all respects, Andrew, your type comes out of the womb giving orders.
Yeah, I suppose it's.
Aren't you supposed to spank me, doctor? All right, let's get with the program. By the way, while he's spanking me, clean up this room. We have more birds here. Oh, get with the program. I mean, you just cannot not sit by idly. It is part of your type to take command and get the world going. Now, you're four-letter opposite, and hear this. This is just like saying you prefer your right hand, and here's your left hand. This four-letter opposite is in you. This is part of Andy Finn.
Yes.
The I, the S, the F, and the P, and I don't think it's accidental. In fact, I think it's really exciting that the ENTJ's opposite. Here's the ENTJ, perhaps overstated to make the point, the most bold of the 16 types. Has as their opposite the most invisible of the 16 types.
Uh-huh.
The least needful of impacting on others. And part of your karma, part of your karma in life is to integrate the invisible side of you with the visible side of you in a way that is mature, that is supportive, that is helpful to you and to the world that you touch.
Ooh, yeah, interesting.
That sounded flower, but that's it.
No, it's gorgeous. I love it.
That's what it's all about.
Well, and, you know, something similar. On this show before, I've talked with a couple of colleagues about the work of Ken Wilber. Now, I didn't talk to you about Wilber and whether you've looked at him at all, but he's got a fascinating theory of everything, his integral theory. And one of the things he talks about is that lines of development, regardless of whether you're talking physical, yeah, emotional, cognitive, or even culinary, you can get very specific with your lines of development. The goal is in life is essentially to move yourself up on different lines of development at different times and different stages of your life, so that, sure, when you have something that's underdeveloped, you don't have to do anything about it, but we often choose to experience growth in an area that we've ignored for a while.
Of course. Of course. That's, by the way, and that's a beautiful illustration, and that's partly, now this doesn't happen, this is even, I think, typological, but let's not go there right now, but just in the illustration to endorse what you're saying, that's why suddenly some hard-driving, unbelievably anal-retentive senior executives retire and for a season go paint pictures in the Southwest and let the grandchildren barf all over them and think it's cute.
Right, right.
They couldn't allow that for their own kids because they were in a different stage of development.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And part of their anal-driven self is a laid-back artist Southwest painting part of their personality.
Which they've submerged.
That they've denied. Right, exactly, exactly.
So they could do their CEO, yes, job or whatever they were doing.
Yes, and yet something in them is saying, wait, you're not complete yet. You're one who's committed to learning. Here's a whole part of you you've been denying.
Yeah, interesting. Well, we're going to come back after this and ask Otto about some well-known personalities in the world and what he might estimate is their type. This part will be fun.
Okay.
Get your hands off that mouse. The Andy Finn Show will be right back.
Yeah!